This is the Westinghouse Broadcasting System coming to you from the capital, Washington, D.C., and serving a nation.
Good evening, America, and a warm welcome to great Americans. I'm Seymour Kenis. Ladies and gentlemen, in tonight's Great Americans, as we cross to the Pacific Ocean, to California, to Hollywood, and to possibly the major player in its hierarchy, we salute Monroe Starr. As the gospel of the movies Variety said of him last week, Hollywood has found its star, and with him its taste. With this man, Hollywood has come of age. Monroe Starr's rise to the top of the pile began when he was appointed creative head of the studio at the age of 27, an ascent unimagined in the decades before it. While the loss of his beloved wife, the international star Mina Davis, took its toll on his fragile health, his energy made him even more determined to make his studio the one to beat. Revenues went up, and his dedication did not falter. Monroe Starr talked to me in our usual person-to-person call, the signature of this exclusive program. I should confess to listeners that Mr. Starr picked up the telephone at 6:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. He was already in his office when the call was put through. Monroe Starr, the head of Hollywood, ahead of the rest. First, I asked, why have we never, ever seen your name on any of your pictures?
I'll tell you my answer. I don't want my name on the screen because credit is something that should be given to others. If you are in a position to give credit to yourself, then you don't need it. Writers, well, it's 6:30 in the morning over here, so not many of them are up and about at this time of day. Writers aren't people, exactly, or if they're any good, they're a whole lot of people trying so hard to be one person. What is a star? I'll tell you, it was Miss Davis and Miss Crawford who said, a star is somebody the people pay to see. You can't top that. Retire. A job like this, you can't give up. It gets in your blood. I tell you, when we hang up here this morning, I'll go to one of the big stages at the studio, say Stage 5 at Burbank. It'll be a cacophony of sound. Reminds me of the Brooklyn Navy Yard, less than a block away from where I was born, grew up. The noise. Stage 5, it's the same. The lighting guys, the best boys, plasterers, carpenters, all making up this terrible orchestra. Then there's an ever so gradual diminishing of the volume towards the quiet. And I mean silence. Absolute silence. The red light goes on so there's even silence yon the soundproof door. Silence so that they can make the shot. The shot is fine. It goes all over the world. You've never heard such silence. And out of the quiet.
Playback.
The Last Tycoon by F. Scott Fitzgerald. Dramatized for radio by Bill Bryden.
Welcome to the flight deck, Mr. Smith. Found a chair and fastened
it. I should say.
Wait a sec. You're not.
I travel incognito.
You're the movie guy.
Incognito.
Hollywood. On the radio the
yeah,
other
right.
night.
Right, Monroe.
The incredible rise of...
Monroe Starr.
That's it. Full malarkey, Mr. Starr. Yeah, I'm Jim Calhoun. Pleased to shake your hand. Claudette would not believe this. Yeah, maybe you could sign a menu.
Oh, delighted to.
A cocktail list, something.
Yeah, delighted to do that.
Thanks a hell of a lot.
So, Jim, thank you. I always wanted to see the way.
Well, way ahead. The hill. And even the king needs to fasten his belt.
Not easy. Patience. Something I'm short of.
Well, you're out of mold, Mr. Hollywood. What's in New York?
Money. The board. Hollywood's the talent.
Hold tight, sir. Thought you might be taking over the great white way as well.
No. No, sir. If I want to see a Eugene O'Neill play, I'll buy one.
Hey-ho. Up we
go! Over the mountains, over the ocean, first stop, Broadway!
Uh-oh.
Though I haven't been on the screen, I was brought up in pictures. Rudolph Valentino came to my 5th birthday party, or so I was told. Even before the age of reason, I was in a position to watch the wheels go round. My name is Cecilia Brady. My father, Pat Brady, is the chief executive officer of the most successful studio on the coast. The studio is successful, it is said, because of scripts and writers. Now, Dad, far as I know, has never read a script. Balance sheets are his literature. So the studio's success is down to the man who can. The machine. Monroe Starr. He's the genius. Well, he thinks I'm still a kid, even though he knows I did well at college, but he hasn't had the time to catch the lovelorn look in my eyes or my invitation for him to do whatever he likes with me. Nobody measures up. I think I'll leave it there. Let it rest. And stay in hope. Anytime I need to see him, he's always with the writers.
Mr. Boxley, you have written a novel to much acclaim.
Much acclaim.
In England.
In England?
This is Hollywood, Mr. Boxley. We make movies.
I'm here to help.
So, you're happy in the chateau?
Very.
Well, let's start with your dialogue. I didn't feel it was people talking.
What? People?
For people who pay admission to watch a movie.
Well...
Please, Mr. Boxley. Now, I'm not asking you to change your award-winning talent. If that was so, you wouldn't be here, at my expense. Not half a dozen men have been able to keep the whole equation of pictures in their heads. They say I'm one. So, work on it, Mr. Boxley. Work on it. Don't write down, write new. You're our trump card. We lost Scott Fitzgerald. You drink also? If you need it, you need it.
Cut. Print.
It was 9 o'clock of a July night, and there were still some extras and day players in the drugstore across from the studio. Most of them were ahead of the game to be first in line for tomorrow's casting call for the grand ballroom scene in some movie with the word Vienna in the title. Beyond the drugstore, the editors trying to make sense of yesterday's dailies, and most of all, Dispatch delivering the finished movies for the first showing in every town and city. This is a 24-hour, 7-days-a-week factory. But this assembly line has no routine. All the night guys refer to every movie as theirs, however modest their contribution. I'd slowed up as I saw old Mr. Marcus being hoisted into his car in the front of the administration building. He took so long to say anything, even goodnight. Dad confessed he'd be ignored apart from his major shareholding. As I saw them all in the late drugstore, it was as if they were all on an ocean liner, calmly waiting to dock in a port. Soon they'd be windswept and tempest-torn as the earthquake raged.
This is the Westinghouse Broadcasting System, and this is Westinghouse weather. Heavy rains and flooding are forecast for the areas of the San Fernando Valley, Pasadena, Glendale and Burbank in that area.
Water! God almighty!
That's half a French village floating! The antiques is real! Jesus!
The worst! Jamil needs that prop gone tomorrow! You know how many versions of that damn statue props have made before that fascist was satisfied?
Monroe, we can handle it. The fire department's on its way.
Charlie, it's funny. My dream was the studio burnt down, not swept away. We're pumping in the swamp on 36th Street. City property, look there!
More lights, more lights! Over there, over there!
Good job, Daddy. See it now.
Christ, it's Shiva, the god of whatever it is.
Sure ain't the saint of prop makers. You know, DeMille, when he goes nut house, is the worst.
I'll handle it. I'll handle DeMille. Damn the water. Christ's sake, there's people on it.
Hell with the people. Save the statue. How the hell did the girls get on there?
Get help. Help. Where are the firefighters? Save the girls.
Was anybody ever so beautiful?
Monroe.
Mr. Starr, you know what that prop cost?
I know. I will deal with that, Charlie. I'll deal with the mill. Just save the girls. The hell with the damn statue.
Miss Doolin. Miss Doolin.
Good morning, Mr. Starr.
Any news?
Stock's up 3 points.
Not about that. About the girls on the statue.
McGuire called. He thinks he has a name for one.
Good work. What's the name?
Smith. Or Brown or Green.
Well, that narrows the field. Sorry, Miss Doolin. Just keep on it.
Stock's up 3 points.
Oh, you're right. Maybe that's more important. Tell Brady. Also tell McGuire to call me if the name is confirmed. And put him through whatever meeting I'm in.
Oh, of course. Your next is an 11 o'clock with Vidor. Oh, by the way, they were new in town.
Good. Thank you, Miss Doolin. Check new phone numbers.
Already done.
Charlie, one of them wore a silver belt. That's it, a silver belt. I need a name, Charlie.
Guess what, Monroe?
What?
Jamil thanked the props guys about how they distressed the Shiva. How about that?
I started a journal. Well, in truth, I thought it was my first novel. The Producer's Day. Dad was always envious of Mr. Starr. Jealous is the very word. He was less worried about the studio than he was bent on revenge. I've never caught his substance, but maybe I'm just not a good enough writer. It was always more than fascinating to see Monroe Starr at work. In a town full of heels, he was a hero.
Miss Doolin, welcome. You're about to witness the twilight of a Hollywood career. Well, let it run. Let it run its course. This is some suicide pact of a guy who wants to go back home to Broadway, do the next No-No Nanette. Fine for him. Fine for us. Worth a trial. You know, it's funny that so many of these Broadway people, and I've seen their shows, talented, but they have no sense of what a movie is. You know, I wouldn't claim to know either, but it is not a play. A play is art, best of it. A movie is a show, and a show costs a nickel. Now, Miss Doolin.
Mr. Starr, we've lost a stuntman.
Dead?
Afraid so.
Not Gilly.
No. It's Rusty Sanders.
Take a note. Find out the bank details. Donation according. Flowers. And I'll attend. The funerals. The tributes you're asked to attend are nothing. Nothing compared to the services you have to attend. You don't need or want to see any more of this shit, so hold it!
Big flowers.
And big money. For Mrs. Sanders. These guys are the salt. Thank you, Miss Doolin. I would have hated to see it on the telex. Thank you. Listen to me, my friends. A mensch has passed away, watching in danger for all of us. Do you know that he was a close second at Daytona? Do you know also, on that movie you thought was Coleman's best, it was Rusty. They are the bone and marrow of this studio. And that's why I'm going to his service. Can anybody tell me why Tracy's stunt double is 6'6"? I know he's huge on the screen, but in the commissary, he's 5'8", tops. So, run it again. Look at this. Tracy's knocked down by the heavy. Tracy gets up, but it's not Tracy. Christ, it's Joe Palooka. I have a theory. This director is a pansy. This one is not a talented pansy. So fix this. I know he looks like Mr. Universe, but we should sell this director to Metro to do a... what do you call it? A drawing room comedy. Even I wouldn't wish that on Metro. This stunt guy is obviously his... whatever you call it. Why do I have to do everything in this business? Oh, I suppose it's better than anybody else doing it. I'd like you to stay, Mr. Boxley.
I'm no good to you. I might as well leave. 3 weeks. 3 weeks and I've accomplished nothing. Nothing. I make suggestions, but no one writes them down.
I want you to stay. Something in you doesn't like pictures.
I wish we could start over again. It's this mass production.
That's the condition. There's always some lousy condition. Our condition is that we take the folklore of the people, dress it up, and give it back to them as dreams that they can get in touch with. The rest is sugar. So, Mr. Boxley, won't you give us some sugar?
There's half a dollar into the bowl and a quarter.
Games! Games! No one is serious here.
You're on a learning curve, Mr. Boxley.
What were the coins about?
I don't know, but it always works when a writer's stuck. As Miss Crawford said to Mr. Ref, write hard, Mr. Fitzgerald. Write hard.
Those two bloody hacks you've teamed me with. They listen to what I say and then they spoil it. They spoil it.
Why don't you write it yourself?
I have. I sent you some.
But it was just talk, talk, back and forth. Just talk. Interesting talk. Interesting talk. Nothing more.
I don't think you people know how to read.
Forget the dialogue, George. Skip it. Sure, your dialogue is more graceful than those hacks can write. That's why I'm paying to have you over here. Has your office got a stove that lights with a match?
I think so. I never use it.
So, suppose you're in your office and you're tired. You're too tired to write anymore. You're sitting there, staring, dull, like we all get sometimes. A pretty stenographer, you've seen her before, she comes into your room and you watch her, idly. You're close to her, but she doesn't see you. Now she takes off her gloves, opens her purse, and dumps it out on the table. She has two dimes and a nickel, and a cardboard matchbox. She leaves the nickel on the desk, puts the two dimes back in her purse, and takes the black gloves to the stove. Opens the stove, and puts the gloves inside. There's one match in the matchbox, and she starts to light it by kneeling by the stove. And there's a stiff wind blowing in the window. Suddenly, your telephone rings. The girl, she picks it up. She says, hello, and listens, and says back into the phone, I've never owned a pair of black gloves in my life. She hangs up. She kneels again, and just as she lights the match, suddenly, you glance around, and there's another man in the office watching every move the girl makes.
Go on. What happens?
I don't know. I was just making pictures.
What was the nickel for?
I don't know. Miss Doolin. What was the nickel for?
The nickel was for the movies.
What the hell are you paying me for? I don't understand the damn stuff.
Oh, you will, or you wouldn't have asked about the nickel.
How you been feeling?
Oh, the usual, Dr. Schneider.
You hard at it? Getting any sleep?
No, about 5 hours. Go to bed early and just lie there.
Take the sleeping pills.
The yellow ones give me a hangover.
The red ones?
That's a nightmare.
One of each, then. Yellow first.
I'll try. How you been?
I take care of myself. Monroe. Seems okay. Blood pressure up 5 points.
That's good, isn't it?
I'll develop the cardios tonight. When are you coming away with me?
6 weeks. Things will ease up.
Listen to me, Monroe. I'm your doctor. When Mina was with us, you took a break. Okay, St. Pete's, Florida, but it kept you alive. She's gone. God bless her, but you're on your own with a routine. Listen, you'll be dead. Dead.
Variety says I could live forever.
That's variety. This is longevity. A doctor's down is when patients die on you.
The good die young.
How good is a man who worries himself to death? It's only movies.
It's nothing only. For me, it's everything.
You're the only fool who doesn't talk like a fool. Take a break. Go to St. Pete's.
Too hot. I'm not a good swimmer.
These statistics are of a man who is in the waiting room. Just about to have the stroke or heart, the moment that kills him. change the pills any which way you like. I don't want to be in Variety when the drugs don't take. Have a holiday.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, am I sick after all? Why take these when they give me headaches? But these give me energy. You know, I don't know what's wrong with me, but it's sure the wrong time to go. Leave the headaches. Take your bennies and down the hatch. Maybe now I've got something to live for. Gesundheit.
Good morning, Mr. Starr.
Miss Doolin, what's online?
Usual. And Mr. Rodriguez. He's up here every time he has a second off the set. Four times. I think you should see him. Oh, he hasn't been trying to status it.
What's new, Miss Doolin?
Vidor's ahead, and Red Riding Hood's, he's behind 3 days, blames it on the French artiste.
You don't like her.
Never met her. But Colbert could be available if worse. She's French. I think apart from that, the usual.
What about the girl?
The girl on the statue?
Yes. That girl. Girls.
Oh, if there's another girl, I'm going to need a new switchboard. McGuire remembers the girl's name.
And?
It's Smith.
What?
Smith.
Smith.
Mm-hmm. He asked her if she wanted to come in and get some dry shoes, and she said no, so, you know, she can't sue us.
Smith.
Smith, that's it.
It would be Smith. So, ask the phone company for a full list of Smiths that have taken new phones here in the last month.
Oh, that sounds more to do than the usual chaos about writing with being over 3 days.
Well, because of Madame?
That's what Red says.
I'll deal with
so,
Red.
Oh, Smith.
Smith, Miss Doolin.
Oh, look, please see Mr. Rodriguez.
Of course, Miss Doolin. Your priorities are always right. Tony.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Tony, what can't wait?
Monroe, I'm through.
What do you mean?
So, I came to you. I'm through.
Have you seen Variety?
So, I came to you. I came to you, Monroe.
Through? Your pitch is held over at Grauman's Chinese, and you did 37,000 in Chicago last week. What's with through?
Listen, Monroe, thanks for your time. I came to you. I came to you. You gave me my name. I'm Tony Rodriguez. You told me that Abraham Lefkowitz don't work on Midnight in Tangier. You gave me my name, Monroe. So I came to you.
Hold my calls.
This is America, both from Brooklyn. Monroe, I'm through. This is a great country, Monroe. I drive a Bugatti, and I'm through.
Your William Morris people have seen the grosses. They call.
That's it. That's the worst of it. That's the tragedy. You've given me... I got everything I want. Now it means nothing. So, I came to you.
Tony. Bubbles. Tony. Explain. Tell me.
There's nothing between me and Esther anymore. Nothing. So, I came to you.
But a row, she knocked on the wrong bedroom door.
Worse than that, I can't bear that. I'm Tony Rodriguez. I can't make it. I can't get it. I lost my... She tries to understand. It's not doing it. I'm not there, Monroe.
You were great in dailies yesterday.
Was I? So you didn't notice? I'm going through the part with no cojones, Monroe. So I came to you.
Are you saying that you and Esther are separating?
It could come to that. Not me. She needs love. She needs... And don't advise I see Gloria. Gloria tried, but it's the works. Can't do it. It doesn't work. So I came to you. I'm ashamed. My fan mail's way up. There's high school girls outside my front door, but After work, I go to the Derby for booze. I'm afraid to go home. I'm scared of sleeping in my own bed. I came to you, Monroe. We've tried the lingerie. My darling has tried all kinds of things I never even asked her to do. But nowhere, Monroe. She's an angel, and I've forgotten how to worship her. So I came to you.
Dry your eyes. You're a star, Tony.
But what? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah! I knew if I came to you, I came to you, Monroe. There's never a situation you don't know the way out. Lug it, I said to myself. Even if you ask me to kill myself, I'll ask Monroe. So, I came to you. And thanks. Many thanks.
Now, Tony, you go do the part the way I said.
You nailed it. Thanks, Monroe. Oh, God.
Mr. Starr, the girl with the silver belt is on the phone.
Put it through. Hello?
Hello?
Well, you were hard to find. Smith. And that you just moved here. That's all we had. And a silver belt.
Oh, yes, last night. I had on a silver belt. Who are you?
My name is Monroe Starr.
Yes. You were the husband of Mina Davis.
Yes. I'd like to see you. Would you like to come to the studio?
Oh, I don't think I ought to. I'm awfully sorry.
I'd like to see you. There's a reason.
Well, I'm afraid that...
Could I come and see you?
It's quite impossible.
Why?
I feel silly even talking to you. Your secretary insisted. I thought I'd dropped something in the flood last night, and you found it.
I want very much to see you. For 5 minutes.
To put me in the movies?
No, that's not the idea.
Where could I meet you?
Your house?
No, somewhere outside. 9 o'clock, near here. There's a drugstore in Wilshire.
Where are we going? I thought there'd be a chauffeur. Sorry, that didn't sound very polite, but you movie people are supposed to be such horrors. Why'd you want to see me?
You're not the... I'll run you home. It's my mistake. Live near?
Run me home? There's no hurry. Sorry if I offended.
No, it was nice of you to come. It's me, I'm stupid. Last night... Oh, stupid. I thought you were the exact of someone I knew. Dark light in my eyes, I guess. Just that is funny.
You were married to Mina Davis, weren't you? Excuse me for referring to it. I'm quite a different type from Mina Davis. Or maybe the girl I was with. She looks more like Mina Davis. Oh, yes, much more. She lives right next door.
The silver belt?
Oh, that was me, all right. I'm sorry you were disappointed. Stop here. Here's Kathleen.
All my fault.
Who is it? Oh, Edna, you can't come in. I've been cleaning. House smells of ammonia.
It was you, Kath. You big shot wanted to see. You telephoned me, but tough. Good luck.
I'm afraid... I'm sorry. Hello. We were rude at the studio last evening.
You weren't rude. We had no business there.
I hope you'll both of you make a tour of the studio in better...
Are you someone important?
He certainly is. He was Mina Davis's husband, a producer. And I think he's got a crush on you.
Edna, go to bed.
You're Irish.
Didn't think you could tell. I've lived in London a long time.
I can tell.
I hope you don't want to put me in pictures.
No.
Good. That's good. I do hope we'll meet again.
I'd be sorry if we didn't. Your friend, Edna, I don't think she likes me. I think it was the word producer.
She calls them scum. Well, not all of them.
Most of them. She's just come out here too. She means no harm. Should I be afraid of you?
Well, I've got my foot in the door.
And I'm not afraid.
Look, I might look as if I'm trying to sell you a Hoover, but you've just won a VIP tour of the studio. Winners normally look pleased. You'll come to the studio?
I'm not sure. But I'm very much obliged.
In my book, sorry, but I quote, "My heart was fire and smoke was in my eyes. I would walk up to him, kiss him on the mouth, stop a barefoot away and say, hello. Hello. Just practicing. Life ain't a novel. Even a bad novel.
Cecilia, you look swell.
I like sitting on your desk. All power is here.
You used to do that when you were a kid.
Not a kid anymore. Not the boss's daughter. I'll be a graduate. Qualified enough to be taken out.
You look great.
Like a great kid.
Listen, Cecilia, go with me to the ball tonight?
Yes. Oh, yes. I've got a dress. What ball?
Screenwriters. Down at the Ambassador.
Sure. Yes.
I should take you there, but sneak preview in Westwood. I'll be late. I'll join up.
Typical.
Why don't you get married, Cecilia?
I'd marry you.
Sure. I'm lonesome. You know that. Pictures of my girl. No time. I mean, any time. It'd be like marrying a doctor. Cecilia, I am too old and too tired to undertake anything.
Undertake me.
And cut. Thank you. That's a take. Print it.
Over here.
How are you, Monroe? I'm glad you came down.
We gotta talk, Red.
Sure, she's a bitch. A frog bitch.
We'll talk in the car.
You know what the boys call her?
In the car?
In Mamsel Takes, Miss Takes. The boys, to a man, Miss Takes kept me grinning at the bitch the whole day.
Here's the car. After you, Red.
Thank you, Monroe. A Rolls Royce. With you, it's only two kinds of class. First class or no class.
Red, you can't handle her. I told you what I wanted. I wanted her mean. She comes out bored. I'm afraid we have to call it off.
The picture?
No, I'm putting Harley on it.
Harley? Oh, anybody but Harley.
I gave you your name, Ridingwood. Look it, Red Ridingwood. When you come over from the theater with the talkies, so no hard feelings. This hasn't worked out. She's a bitch, but she is a star. They didn't come together your time. She's on a tight contract, so the enemy is time. I'm sorry, Red. You're one of those men who used to have all the time in the world. Now, it's fast. Don't worry, Red. There'll be a different project. You were great with the B pictures.
B's?
When you did about the bank robbery, one of the great movies. A or B. And, by the way,
what?
You'll still have enough dough to propose to Mrs. Ridingwood. Number three.
You know everything, Monroe.
My job.
Finish the take.
Harley's already in there.
Anybody but Harley. Well, I left my coat and it's on my chair.
Here it is.
You know, Monroe, I feel relieved.
Yeah, me too.
Thanks. For being the one to tell me.
It's my job.
Good work. Good work, lady and gentlemen. This piece of work is much improved.
Thank you. Thank you, Moreau.
Except for one thing. I don't see why it should be produced at all, and I've decided to put it away. Guys, it's a pass.
What's the matter with it, Monroe?
I didn't like the people. I wouldn't like to meet them. If I knew they were going to be somewhere, I'd go somewhere else. And when I came to the end, I said to myself, so what? This is not the kind of story I want. When I want to do a Eugene O'Neill play, I'll buy one.
If you have a secret, even if people think you have a secret. And everybody knew Monroe Starr had the secret of success. People, lots of people, no one of his class, tried first to find it, then steal it. It's called espionage. But it's hard for minnows to grow into sharks.
How about the South American picture idea, Monroe?
We're going ahead with it.
With the same budget?
Same cost.
Gentlemen, what day is today? Is it April Fool's Day or what? I checked. It's October.
Nothing we can shave.
Look, it's out of proportion. There's no miracle. In these... It's bad times. It's a depression, for God's sakes. There's no Ben-Hur, no Hell's Angels, no throwing it away to get it back.
Mr. Starr, I'm legal affairs. I'm a lawyer. I'm New York, not Hollywood. By the way, thanks for dinner and introducing me to Gary Cooper and Mr. Tracy.
All the pleasure is mine. At El Morocco, you always see the parade pass by. I'm glad you could be in the bleachers.
Yeah, I'd hope to meet Miss Crawford.
Early to bed, early to make up. Starr's regime. Mr. Marcus?
Jeff, get me ready. I'm an old cowhand on the Hollywood range, and I suppose if it wasn't for the fact I'm a major shareholder, this company, not one of you young men would listen to what I say. Jeffrey, Kerchief. But I am major, so my vote still counts. And what I say is, Monroe is our production genius. I count upon Monroe and lean heavily upon him. Yeah.
So the South American picture is on a green light at this no-win price.
And that's show business?
Mr. Fleischacker, for 2 years we have played safe. In spite of what's happened in hard times in the country, it's time that we made a picture that'll lose some money. And write it off as goodwill. This'll bring in new customers. It'll lose money. It'd be a bigger miracle than Hell's Angels if it broke even. But we have a certain duty to the public. As you yourself say at Academy Dinners, Mr. Brady, it is a good thing for the schedule to slip in a picture that'll lose money. And this may be a different show business, Mr. Fleischacker. If I'm wrong, bring back vaudeville.
Cut.
Oh, we do hire good writers. But once they get out here, they stop being good writers. So we have to work with the material we have. That's anybody that'll accept the system and stay decently sober. You know, we have all sorts of people. Disappointed poets, one-hit playwrights, even college girls who might give us a clue what young people are thinking, the audience of tomorrow and all that. We put them on an idea in pairs. If that slows them down, we put another pair on it, working behind the first pair, sometimes a third pair working behind the first two. They don't like it, that is, if they find out about it. It shocks the sense of unity. That's what they say. What they don't ever find out is, I'm the unity.
I noticed the girl long before Starr arrived at the dance from his preview in Glendale. That was the screening when the Starr's flies were open. Nobody noticed anything wrong at the studio, but that woman who goes to all the previews, she noticed all right, and scored the movie lousy. At the top of the stairs, Monroe's face reflected the embarrassment of Glendale, but soon changed when he saw the girl. She had a natural beauty. Even some of the Valley girls have this before their max factored into the same look that the studio likes. She was an oasis in a desert of phony. She even had her own eyebrows. She had that concealed sexuality I dreamed of having. He came downstairs, sped up his normal walk, and there they were, smiling at each other as if this was the beginning of the world. Or the end.
Please, may I have this dance?
I promised it. But yes, of course.
What's your name?
Kathleen Moore.
Kathleen Moore. You like Benny Goodman?
I'm not a good enough dancer for swing music. I was brought up on sad Irish airs.
I have no telephone, if that's what you're thinking.
When will you come to the studio?
It's not possible, truly.
Why isn't it? You're married?
No.
You're not married?
No, nor never have been. But then, I may be.
Someone there at the table.
No. What curiosity. I must go back now. I promise the next dance.
I don't want to lose you. Can we have lunch? Or dinner?
It's impossible. It's just possible. The door's open by a chink. If you could squeeze past, but quickly, so little time. When I'm with you, I don't breathe quite right. Thank you for the dance, and now really, good night.
They're waving for you at your table. Thank you.
Monroe, come over here. We missed you. Fleischek has just been telling us about his adventures at the racetrack.
I don't bet. Tell Tracy or Coleman. They bet.
Sure they do. But Jews shouldn't play the horses. The odds are stacked. Jews should own the horses. Come on, Monroe. You can afford it. Take me, for instance.
Excuse me, gentlemen. I just have to thank Monroe for his genius advice. By the way, this is my darling wife, Esther Rodriguez. I just wanted to tell Mr. Starr the part's working fine. Never better. I'm glad I came to you, Monroe, about the part. Great advice. I'm glad I came to you. Thanks again.
My job, Tony. Nice to meet you, Esther.
Oh, bye now.
Sorry to take up your time with this man. This is the man.
Come on, honey. Actors. You were saying, Mr. Fleischer.
Oh, that's my point, Monroe. Jews should own the horses. Take me and my syndicate. We bought a yearling at the Kentucky sales, Pedigree. His sire won the Preakness. We paid good money, but our horses didn't win shit. Oh, pardon my language, girls. But when it came to mating, he's a pistol, right? A pistol. Now, his son is second favorite at Santa Anita, and a dollar's rolling.
Cinderella's leaving the ball.
Who's got the shoe?
She took the evening with her.
It's as if a prince passed among them, a king. Every handshake, every pat on the back, a benediction. Ordinary people don't get to see that, and you wear it as if it were natural.
It's that obvious?
Yes.
I guess I'll have to limit my appearances, or...
What?
Practice my modesty.
You don't have to do that. I was impressed, as they all were. In Ireland, they would all have doffed their caps. A cat can look at a king. Whatever would you want with me?
Kathleen, I feel like a fool, but I must see you again and talk to you.
There's no reason for feeling like a fool. You're too good a man to feel like a fool. But you should see this for what it is.
What is it?
You've fallen for me. Completely. You've got me in your dreams.
I'd forgotten you, I promise. Till I walked in that door and down that staircase.
Forgotten me with your head, perhaps. But I knew the first time I saw you that you were the kind that likes me.
Listen. Tomorrow is Sunday. I usually work Sunday. Can I show you the studio?
If I meet you tomorrow, will you leave me in peace? How old are you?
I've lost track. Almost 35, I think.
They said at the table you were the boy wonder.
I'll be that when I'm 60. You'll meet me tomorrow? I'll pick you up at...
That wouldn't do. What about right here, outside the hotel? The same spot?
The same spot.
My car's over there.
The same spot. Tomorrow.
Cut. Action.
Did you wait here all night?
Didn't move. Didn't stir. Get in the car.
Did you always want to be in the movies?
No. When I was young, I wanted to be a chief clerk. The one who knew where everything was.
Now you're much more than that.
No, I'm still the chief clerk. That's my gift, if I have one.
Only when I got to be it, I found out that nobody knew where anything was, and I found out that you had to know why it was where it was and whether it should be left there. They began throwing it all at me, and it was a very complex office. Pretty soon, I had all the keys, and they wouldn't have remembered the locks they fitted had I given them back. And I see people on the street who should be movie stars, and movie stars who should be on the street. Maybe I've always been in search of the ideal. The rest is dressing.
And me? Am I a dream?
I'll tell you if I wake up.
Where are we going?
I'm building a house. On the beach at Santa Barbara.
There's no roof.
No. I don't know why I'm building it.
Maybe it's for me.
Maybe it is.
Come here, Mr. Star.
Mr. Star?
Is it here I look like Mina Davis?
Yes. Oh, yes. And here. And here. And here. A one-bulb lighting system. Shall I turn it off?
No. It's very nice. I want to see you. Is this what you wanted? I mean, last night. I wonder when it was settled. There's a moment when you needn't. And then there's another moment when you know nothing in the world can keep it from happening. I feel like Venus on the half shell.
Made you think of that?
Look at me. Isn't it Botticelli?
Come over here.
Here's the list of calls. All urgent.
They're always urgent. You know that.
When Chico was doing the car, this letter was inside.
Thank you, Juan. Yeah, I was looking for this.
Will you be running a picture tonight, Mr. Starr?
No, thanks. You can go to bed. Tell you what, I'd like to talk to Jean Harlow. You try the numbers we have and give up at 3 and turn in, Juan. Never know where she is, but always on time for makeup. Good night, Juan.
Good night, sir.
Dear Mr. Star, in half an hour, I will be keeping my date with you. When we say goodbye, I will hand you this letter. It is to tell you I am to be married soon, and that I won't be able to see you after today. I should have told you last night, but it didn't seem to concern you, and it would seem silly to spend this beautiful afternoon telling you about it and watching your interest fade. Let it fade all at once. Now, I have told you enough to continue that I am nobody's prize potato. I have just heard that expression from my hostess of last night. She seems to believe that everyone is nobody's prize potato, except you. I think I'm supposed to tell you she thinks this, so give her a job if you can. I'm very flattered that anyone who sees so many lovely women... I can't finish this sentence, but you know what I mean. And I will be late if I don't go to meet you right now. With all good wishes, Kathleen Moore.
My darling, Jean, how are you? Where are you? No, not checking, just want you to know, we love you. You know you're the brightest star in the firmament. Geez, did he hit you, honey?
They played Glenn Miller.
Oh?
I'm on a seesaw.
Oh.
Yes, after you left the ball.
Oh.
Where did you go?
Sorry?
Where did you go after you left the ball?
I got involved in a long conversation with a man.
What was this conversation?
I took him for a drive. I didn't realize how much this part of Hollywood has changed.
Has it changed?
Oh, yeah. Changed completely. Unrecognizable. I couldn't tell you exactly, but it's all changed. Everything, it's like a new city.
Who is the man?
An old friend. Someone I knew a long time ago.
So you talked to an old friend? Who told you... You told each other that Los Angeles had changed.
Come in, Monroe. Take a seat. Drink? I forgot. You don't drink.
Never have.
Mind if I... No.
Doesn't agree with...
You must be the only guy on the west coast of America, especially this town, who doesn't use booze. Take out the pressure. Cigar.
It's funny. And there was a piece in Variety, the young mogul, when I got this job. The kid. They took my picture with a Monte Cristo stuck in my face. I bought up all the pictures. So, no booze, no cigar. Club soda would be...
Hey, coming up. Lemon?
Straight up, Pat.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I wanted to talk to you, Monroe. Just us. No board. Mano a mano.
What's on your mind?
My spies say the writers are worried.
I have not and will not negotiate with the communists. We're stirring this up. The writer, especially a good writer in this studio, has the best pay and conditions of any job in the world.
I didn't know your position was so rigid on this. Look, I wouldn't know a script. Good from bad. I read the balance sheet, and it's always in the black, thanks to you, Monroe. Ah, this is good whiskey. Very good. I don't think they can do much to a club soda.
Pat, I want to make my situation clear on this. I pay top dollar to keep writers clear of unions and, let's call it, influence. I will weed out any whining writers who are not worth a better deal. Any deal. I carry a bag of scripts home every single night. I have no life beyond that. So I'm not changing that habit to read the Commie Manifesto.
Your job is yours, mine is mine. It's just things I hear.
Don't listen to whispers, Pat. You know what the Chinese say?
Thanks for the drink.
What do the Chinese say?
Mr. Stardy, you know a Miss Kathleen Moore?
Well, my God, put the call through. It's been 5 days.
You find the letter?
Are you married?
No, not yet. I tried to write you another letter, but it wouldn't write.
I want to see you tonight. But there's a screen. But after?
Yes. Call for me after. We could ride around.
He's an American. My friends, such as I have, say he's a regular guy. In other words, he's dull.
So why is this dull guy still on your mind?
He was very kind to me. Certain moment in my life.
You in love with him?
No. No. But his kindness to me. Let's say, if we married and had children, there would be a reason. There would be a reason to love him and them as a family. I would have a position, a place. Might not be ideal. I might settle for less. What about you? You don't seem to have settled for anything. The studio only brings you work.
The studio's barren.
You said it.
The last Christmas I was in New York. I go there for presents for the staff. Everybody thinks Miss Doolin buys them. So if they don't like them, I can blame it on her taste. By the way, I went beyond the sense to a section that said, for the man who has everything. The girl on the counter thought, it's me. So I went over. A solid gold golf tee. A solid, how about that? I realized then, I did have everything. apart from you.
You haven't got the time. You're too busy having. Where's the time for me?
I'll make time.
You mean you won't work Sundays?
Where is this getting to?
The Road to Nowhere. That was one of your movies, wasn't it?
It flopped.
Exactly my point.
Can't you head off this American at the pass?
Too late, Mr. Starr. You'll forget me.
No, I'll never forget you. You could be my life.
Movies are your life. Face it.
Why do the good old days serve only as memory?
You told me before. These are the good old days. They're only days, not forever. So we should make the most of this good old day.
I've got champagne. Let's open a bottle. Let's drink to that. Cheers.
Cheers. To this good old day.
I'll drink to that. I warn you, Kathleen. I am relentless. I never give up. Everybody knows that. I've canceled tomorrow and the next day. We'll go to the mountains. How about that?
There's always one that got away. Always. For everyone.
Is it me or you?
Maybe it's both of us. Honors even. There's still no roof. I thought your people would be here to... God. Night falls here. So fast. There's no twilight, like an island. It just falls. So fast. I've seen the sun fall to the water, then bounce, goes green, then it's gone. It seems forever. It's the end of a day. We should wave it goodbye.
Yes?
Mr. Starr, the board is assembled. Mr. Brady has arrived. You all right?
Just having a Benny. To meet Mr. Brady.
Oh, take two. As they say, take two.
Good advice, Miss D. Here goes.
I've had more problems with the union than Abe Lincoln.
Who is it this time? Carpenters again?
It's the writers.
The writers?
They pay them too much already.
It's not about money.
If it's not about money, then what?
I walked past the writers' building just Thursday. I think they heard me coming. The tap, tappity tap, tap, tap. But two of them. Two. Didn't write a goddamn thing. What could these lazy bastards be striking for? I checked some of their paychecks.
It's not about money.
There could be nothing, absolutely nothing, out here that any writer would find wanting. Christ, they used to live in garrets in Paris.
Status.
What?
It's not about money. It's about status.
We don't give out knighthoods this side of the pond, Monroe. I told you to deal with this.
Pat, I think we should find out exactly what they want. It is not money.
It'll still cost us. It's always...
Monroe, tell us your take. If it bankrupts the company, your name's on it.
I don't think it's wages.
I should think not. I've checked. There's three guys here. $10,000 a week. And I've checked. Not a credit between them. Boy.
They don't like corralling.
What's that?
Well, one writer, the first guy, well, he thinks he's writing the movie all on his own. Then he finds out there's another writer on the same project. Then the other writer finds out there's a third writer, all on the same subject. So they're pissed.
Enough for a strike. We can't shift one picture if there's even
a stress. At $10,000 a week, in a depression, I'm flabbergasted.
Leave it to me. They are led like mules. Very bright mules. It's political. It's always political. Mr. Fleischacker, you're New York. You know how they hate the coast. As if we spend the day by the pool getting a suntan. It's the communists. When they tell everybody they're poor, even if they're rich, like the writers here. So the writers here say, it's no good, I've got grievances. So that's why there might be a stupid strike and why I'll break bread with a communist. Celia?
Monroe, why are you calling? I'm around.
Don't tell Dad, but...
I never tell Dad anything. You don't. I don't. Nobody does.
Until you want money?
Exactly.
Listen, Seal. You know all these comm simps over there in the East? I want to meet one. A Communist Party member. A true red.
Well, I dated one.
Seal, this is serious. Not necessarily the guy you dated.
He was fun.
Fun we got. I want a senior from New York.
Blonde or brunette?
Get a man.
You promise him immunity?
I don't think your father ought to know. Can we pretend he's a Bulgarian gypsy player or something?
They don't dress up anymore.
I want somebody from the board. If they got anything like a board. I want a red with a brain. Sure. I want a guy who can be talked out of messing with the heads of my writers. I want a guy who I can turn, but big enough for getting the credit for it. Anyone big enough for that to happen?
Well, there's one. I haven't dated him, but he's your guy. You know what, Monroe?
What?
No. Yes. You are. You're like a brazier out of doors on a cool night.
No, don't stop. I like this. You know, I have no notes on this. It's good. Yeah, it's moving. Shh, shh. We'll put this in support of a major release. Give it a chance. We'll make a dime by it. This is a major talent, and I am backing him all the way. Give the young Zinnemann a raise and add 2 more years on his deal. Do it. Miss Doolin, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Starr. Telegrams.
Thanks.
I was married at noon today.
Send your answer by Western Union.
Cut!
I was born sleepless, with no talent for rest or the desire for it. You're not, or never will be, a well person. You know, I was always told that. But I always thought I'd die in a drama, you know? Studio burns down, me inside, after I've saved most of the late shift from burning. One of my nightmares. But when I wake up, it's a scene from some mindless script that I've been reading before I turned in. But it's more slow than that. Nothing sudden. I feel, today, I feel it's too tough. What's the point? I've attended all the funerals in this town. The phony eulogies, the compassion for the wives who've hardly seen the deceased for 30 years since college courtship but have been kept in the manor. And the girls, all with somebody placed by their side by the studio. Horrible. You know, I don't need that. So what will it be instead of disguised mistresses? No chance of a Jewish funeral. Next night, goodbye. No. No. Instead of the plumed black horses, it'll be Tony. That's Tom Mix's horse. Riderless, like a president. I've made sure that Tracy's the only one allowed to speak. I mean, imagine Brady's eulogy. So, it's Crocodile Tears and Tony the Wonder Horse. God. Hang on in there, Monroe.
Inboard.
Would you like me if I was a little shorter? I could wear low heels and plaster down my hair. I could do lots of things. Everything.
Let's have dinner tonight. People will think I'm your father, but I don't mind.
I love old men. Unless a man has a crutch. I feel it's not just a boy and girl affair.
I had many of those.
Enough.
People fall in and out of love all the time, don't they?
Every 3 years. So Fanny Bryce says, in the paper.
I wonder how they manage it. It's true, I see them. They're so convinced. Every time. Then they get convinced all over.
You've been making too many movies.
No, not that. What I'm asking is, are they as convinced the second or the third as they were convinced the first time? Are they?
You're asking a girl who's too young and much too tall.
What do you think?
More each time. Most of all the last time.
I suppose so. Most of all the last time.
Who can mend a broken heart? Sounds like a song on the radio. Time. But it's the lost time you've given to love. Silly girl. Silly. Why would this lonesome widower give his grief up for the boss's daughter? It's the worst script you've ever read, seen in a movie.
Mr. Boxley. Mr. Boxley. What's wrong, Mr. B? A brandy?
The best brandy doesn't solve it. Pain? The pain? I have won awards. What is this? This is the abattoir of talent. I did not come here to be shot in the head and skewered. Skewered like a sheep or a cow. Why? For the money. The money is not enough. When you leave your talent, your gift, at the airport, that is all you have. All you have, and leave it in the limousine from the airport. They will change it, diminish it, until there is nothing left. Nothing. If there is anything
come on,
to
come
say
on, come on, Mr. Boxley. Mr. Boxley. The doc's here.
The doc? Is he going to put my brain back to where it was before I came to this hopeless desert? Before I came to the movies? Harry, take me to the crazy house. I want to be happy again. Kill talent. Kill me. Tell everyone. In England, in Europe. Tell them in America, don't come here. Here you die. Or your spirit dies. It's a death. In the sunshine. But it's a dying. This way,
I turned it down. They always say that, especially directors. You know, there's a list for Scarface, Four Hawks did it with Muni. So I can honestly say I turned down the epic. So the Metrohead said when he saw the magnitude, the extras, the crowds, the scale, well, if everybody who's in this comes to see it, we might just break even. They didn't. They got tanked. Near miss.
The name's Bremer. He's top dollar with them. Be careful, Monroe. He went to school. Catch up later. Luck and love. Bye.
Mr. Bremer, this is the boardroom.
The expensive smell of old Spanish leather. And as it should be. Don't apologize. We only want the best for our people. The best. That's our code.
Marks?
Our code is to take over the means of production.
Well, this may be strange to you, Mr. Bremer. I am the unity. I'm in charge of production. It says so on my door.
Not forever.
Nothing's forever. What are you people trying to do? You got my young men all upset.
Keeps them awake, doesn't it?
We let the Ruskies study the plant as a model plant, understand? Then you try to break up the unity, makes it one.
The unity? Huh. You mean what's known as the company spirit?
No, not that. It seems to be me you're after. But just last week, a writer came into my office. A drunk. A man who's been floating around for years, just two steps out of the bug house, and starts telling me my business.
You don't look like a man who could be told his business, Mr. Starr. You people, your way, it's your way of getting at the writers. Writers are children, even in normal times. They can't keep their minds on their work. They're the farmers in this business. They grow the grain, but they're not in it at the feast.
Drink?
Vodka, if it's Russian.
Oh, we're all out of that. The scotch.
from Scotland.
It's the next best thing.
We had Balanchine over, the choreographer.
I know who George Balanchine is.
And he wrote, here's Balanchine and the Ritz brothers. And he's been paid to do a ballet routine for them. He's homesick and confused, mixed up. So he says to a guy in the commissary, it's beyond my great talent. I cannot teach these Warner brothers to dance. Mazel tov.
Bottoms up.
Even the Scots don't get scotch as good as this. You know, I haven't had a... I don't drink.
Oh, this is...
the best?
I expect the best. I'm not after the crumbs at the rich man's table.
I like you, Bremer. I could give you a job.
I got a job.
Agitating. Agitation's not a job.
Maybe it's a religion.
At my bar mitzvah...
Baptist, me. Dad was a preacher.
You can't be a Baptist and a commie.
High days and holidays. Anyway, you're saying, at your bar mitzvah...
Yeah, well, at my bar mitzvah, the rabbi read from the Torah. I'll never forget it. He read, if I am not for myself, who is for me? Now, I live by that. Can I say why? Can I tell you a story?
With good Scotch whiskey that even the Scotch don't get... You have the floor, Mr. Starr.
Well, here it is. Imagine this. Supposing there's got to be a road through a mountain, a railroad, and two or three surveyors and people come to you, and you believe some of them, and some of them you don't believe, but all in all, there seems to be half a dozen possible roads through that mountain, each one of which, as far as you can determine, is as good as the other. Now, suppose you happen to be the top man. There's a point where you don't exercise the faculty of judgment in the ordinary way, but simply the faculty of arbitrary decision. You say, well, I think we'll put the road there, and you trace it with your finger, and you know in your secret heart, and no one else knows, that you have no reason for putting the road there rather than in several other, quite different places. But you're the only person that knows that you don't know why you're doing it. And you've got to pretend that you know that you did it for specific reasons, even though you are utterly assailed by doubts as to the wisdom of your decision. Because all of those other possible decisions keep echoing in your ear. But when you're planning a new enterprise on a grand scale, the people under you mustn't know or guess that you're in any doubt, because they all must have something to look up to. And they must never, ever dream that you're in doubt about any decision. It's a long story, but it's how the head of the studio does the job. More scotch?
Sure. While I think about it. Cheers. My story is more the guy building the rails than the railroad boss deciding where to blow the hole in the canyon. I know what the big boss does. You give my writers a break. I won't tell the under guys a thing.
Your story, Mr. Bremer.
Now, tell it quick. Don't want to miss my dinner at El Morocco, do I? Anyway. There's this actor. You won't know him.
I know all the actors.
You know the stars, Mr. Starr. This guy's not a star. He's a working actor. A working stiff in his profession. But he's good. Talented. His name is Herschel Blaustein. He's New York. He's used to... I'm sure you'd love it. But Herschel hates the silent telephone. For you, he does bits. The man in the subway. The man in the drugstore. Pays bills, taxes. But Herschel hasn't worked since...
Why, he's sick?
Since he went to a meeting. Word got out he was difficult, because he went to a meeting. A meeting billed Save Russia's Children. Now, he's got his own kids. So on a Sunday, he does a cabaret from the Yiddish theater and gets everyone to put a buck in the box to help kids in Russia. Monday, his booker says, it's goodbye to the extra bucks, such as they are from the movies, and keep your feelings quiet. Russia no more, Hirsch. It's only a beginning, Mr. Starr. Today it's just Herschel Blaustein, a working actor. But Herschel's a start. He could be the first sign of cancer. Herschel's on some kind of blacklist. Stigmund. Mr. Starr, if the studios don't build their own future, they're digging their own graves. This is supposed to be a meeting of minds, Mr. Starr. I'm not here to mix up the minds of your writers. I'm sure you're pretty good at that without me. Let's go to El Morocco.
Drink first?
That would be very adjacent. Careful. Medicinal measures.
Hell with it. You listen to me, Mr. Bremer. I am not having our stories changed from love and laughter to some poor girl having an eye cut open with a razor, or to some poor defenseless kid rolling down cathedral steps in a perambulator. No, sir. Yes, I've seen these communist movies, and they won't play here, however you turn the heads of my writers. Carlos! Carlos! Carlos, please, another large scotch. Valentine's. Ice. No water.
Monroe, that's your... You don't drink.
Even the scotch don't... don't get this. Mr. Bremer?
No thanks. No thanks. I did my drinking in the Navy.
Oh, so you've been messing with the minds of our sailors. Hi, Spence. Mr. Coleman. How are you, sir? Mr. Bremer, there are stars here. Real stars. Over there is Carol Lombard. Carlos, bring me my Bannon Times. On my tab. Mr. Bremer, I didn't want you to miss more stars than in the heavens. Am I talking too much? Celia, am I? Celia, why don't we go up to Brady Mansion for a game? You know, Bremer, one of the things I do and will always do to keep Cecilia here to the manner, the style to which she's been accustomed. Just look at Carol Lombard, Mr. Bremer. Thanks, Carlos. That's for you. Yes, Carol Lombard. Does she look like a Russian farmhand? No, sir. So, let's go back to Brady Towers.
Come on, Monroe, let's go.
Oh, drink up and go, Monroe. Bremer, ready for a game? We'll have a game of ping pong. Have another drink, and we'll tear into each other.
Mm. 2018. Here we go. Oh, shot! Cecilia. Good shot. I see all is not study at college. Yes! 21. Good game, Cecilia. Close.
Cecilia, more whiskey. This bottle's a dead soldier.
You've had enough.
Time to relax on a Saturday night.
You're not relaxing, you're just drinking.
Fetch!
Last one.
I am going to beat up Bremer. Huh? I am going to handle this thing personally.
Oh? Can't you pay somebody to do it?
I do my own dirty work. I am going to beat the hell out of you and put you on a train.
Oh, please! Stop this! Stop it! Oh, come on, you're being so bad!
This fella has an influence over you! Over all you young people! You don't know what you're doing!
Stop it! Please go home, Mr. Bremer.
All right. I always wanted to hit $10 million. But I didn't know it would be this easy.
Please go.
I'm sorry. Can I help?
No! Please go, I understand.
All right. Thanks for the game.
Where is he?
Who?
That American. Why the hell did you have to marry him? You damn fool.
No, he's gone. I didn't marry anyone. Look, here's a chair.
Oh.
He's been gone half an hour.
Did I hit him?
Oh, yeah, quite badly.
Oh, I don't believe it. You know, I didn't want to hurt him. I just wanted to chase him out. I guess he got scared and he hit me.
Do you hold it against him?
Oh, no. I was drunk. Hey, I have to get out of here. Your dad and the board have spies everywhere. We are being watched. How would you like to go out to Doug Fairbanks' house and spend what's left of the night?
I know he loved to have you.
We had an essay exercise at Bennington. You had to begin the essay with the words, "I saw him again the other day. He looked different." You know what I'm going to say? After. I was about to say, after the fall. After the drunken invite to spend the night under Doug Fairbanks's roof, Monroe Starr had indeed looked different. He was never tall, but even short people can shrink. Not because of age or bones, but I suppose it's time's waste. He was never an athlete, but he just seemed to be less. I've seen girlfriends fade to a shadow over being jilted by some lover who was never worth a damn anyway. My friends got over it. After a time. Sometimes a long time. Monroe would never get over it. I try to pick up the pieces, but they're just pieces. Not a whole man. Here's a man with no energy left. A man who doesn't care.
We don't want you negotiating with the writers anymore. You're getting too close, Monroe. Maybe you've forgotten the deal. Our side of the deal.
The writers are the farmers in this business. They grow the grain, but they're not in at the feast.
You see, Brady's right. You're taking their attitude.
The studio will fall without me. I'll go to New York.
We'll see the studio doesn't fall.
We've talked to New York, Monroe. You're tired. Take a break. Go to Tahiti. Take your best girl.
I don't get tired, Mr. Brady. I'll catch the flight.
Leave your bag of scripts right here. Relax. Go to Tahiti.
I'll go to New York. I want to hear this from them. I'll go to New York. Now.
Maybe you could sign a menu.
Oh, delighted to.
A cocktail list, something.
Yeah, delighted to do that.
Thanks a hell of a lot.
So, Jim, thank you. I always wanted to see the way.
Well, way ahead. The hill. And even the king needs to fasten his belt.
Not easy. Patience. Something I'm short of.
Well, you're on the move, Mr. Hollywood. What's in New York?
Money. The board. Hollywood's the talent.
Hold tight, sir. Thought you might be taking over the Great White Way as well.
No, no, sir. If I want to see a Eugene O'Neill play, I'll buy one.
Hey-ho, up we go. Over the mountains, over the ocean, first stop.
Broadway! Uh-oh.
This is the Westinghouse Broadcasting System, and this is News Right Now. The death is announced of the Hollywood legend, Monroe Starr. His scheduled flight from Los Angeles to New York has crashed in the High Sierras. There were no survivors. For more details of this tragedy, the host of our prestige program, Great Americans, Seymour Kenis.
Well, it's very sudden and very bad news from Hollywood, as we mourn the great Monroe Starr. It seems only the other day I talked to Mr. Starr on this broadcast. He was truly a great American. Tributes have been coming in on the hour to this broadcaster. I will share with you this from Pat Brady, his colleague and friend.
In Monroe Starr, we have lost the comet in our constellation of stars. He was a meteor and a great friend. In Making the Straw Man, the legendary Cecil B. DeMille asked his crew, "What is the name of this land?" DeMille was told, "Sir, this is Hollywood." Since that day, studios grew on this land from its earth and talent from its soil. At this time of tragedy, I would pay homage not only to Monroe Starr, but to Mr. DeMille himself and to the trio of United Artists, Mr. Chaplin, Mr. Fairbanks, and America's sweetheart, Mary Pickford. But first among equals of the giants of this industry I have mentioned, there is Monroe Starr, the unique Monroe Starr. It will be told he never made a great picture, but he made all of his pictures greater. He will be greatly missed by every employee of this studio. I walked with greatness and called him friend. He was the last tycoon. The Last Tycoon by F. Scott Fitzgerald. Dramatized for radio by Bill Brighton. The cast was as follows. Monroe Starr, Aidan Gillen. Kathleen, Charlotte Emerson. Brady, Michael Feast. Boxley, Trevor Ray. Cecilia, Hilary Connell. Miss Doolin, Angela Douglas. Fleischacker, John Garasio. Tony Rodriguez, Carl Johnson. Bremer, Jack Shepherd. Sound design, Mark Smith. Production associate, John Tams. Producer, Lawrence Byrne. The Last Tycoon was dramatized and directed by Bill Brighton. A feel-good fiction production for BBC Radio 4.
I had to fire my doctor the other day. He was no good in the part.
And next weekend's drama is A Portrait of Elmbury, adapted from the Brensham trilogy novels by John Moore. This week, the opera legend Luciano Pavarotti is nominated for Great Life status by the music promoter Harvey Goldsmith. He discusses the man behind the golden voice.
He understood that if he was going to become a major star, he had to do promotion.
Yes.
But he would always, after a performance,